You are listening to the Joshua Segafis Podcast.
Welcome back to the Joshua Segafis Podcast, the only podcast that teaches you how to be truly alpha. If you're ready to level up to succeed at dating, relationships, business, fitness, and everything else that matters, then stick around. This is exactly where you want to be.
This episode is brought to you by my flagship dating course, Dating in the Wild, The Adult Man Method. Are you sick and tired of a lackluster dating life? Gentlemen, if you know anything about my personal story, you know that I used to suck at dating. I could barely get a text back from a woman, much less a date. I was lonely, depressed, anxious, and felt like my dating life was truly a hopeless endeavor. But I didn't give up, and eventually it all changed. I got to work and figured out how to transform myself from being a total dating zero to an absolute dating hero and succeeded in creating the dating life of my dreams. And in this dating course, you can learn the exact skills, strategies, techniques, and thought processes that I learned over 2.5 years of studying, trial, error, blood, sweat, tears, testing, and lots of hard work. The secret is to learn what women evolved to look for in a mate, and then to develop yourself into the truly masculine, attractive, high-value man who taps directly into the instincts that guide the ever-mysterious female mate selection process. Not only will this course teach you how to transform your dating life, it'll also empower you to become a better, more successful man in the process. So click on the link in the description, grab the course, and get ready to change your dating life forever. All right, we're live. Welcome back to another episode of the Joshua Segafis Podcast. This is the YouTube and podcast show where we talk about how to become truly alpha, to succeed at dating, relationships, business, fitness, and everything else that matters. This is a Wednesday evening alpha mastermind. I'm joined by my friend Holden. We may have some others joining us tonight as well. We're going to talk about a very important topic, kind of going back to the basics, how to truly embrace the alpha mentality. Now, this is a topic that I talk about a lot, and I actually talk around it a lot. And the reason that I wrote this is because I'm kind of going back through all my content, and I'm creating content specifically aimed at being like entry-level information for getting started, because that content is kind of scattered around my platform, and I kind of wanted to bring it all together and make it easier for people to understand exactly what we're doing and what I mean when I say embrace the alpha mentality. People are like, Josh, what does that mean? So this is exactly what it means, is we're going to answer it today. And there are basically 5 steps to this process, and we're just going to jump into it and kick it around. Holden, do you have anything to say before we jump into this about the alpha mentality?
No, sir. Kick it off.
All right, let's do it. How to embrace the alpha mentality. This is really what it all comes down to. If you want to learn how to be truly alpha in your life, then this is exactly where it starts. The concept itself is really simple, but in practice, there is a lot to learn. I've been on this journey for over 6 years now, and every single day, I'm learning new techniques or strategies that help me to level up in my own alpha mentality. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening, you can find the link to this blog post down in the description, so you can read it if you'd like to. The good news, however, is that you don't need to be an expert to get started or to make it work for you. You just have to be willing to follow these 5 important steps to get started embracing true alpha mentality in your life today. And this post is going to give you everything you need to do that. So step one is just simply commit to the alpha mentality. Are you ready to acknowledge that the steps and techniques you were using in your life before this moment just weren't working? For me, this happened back in 2017 when my life fell apart, my marriage ended, and I lost everything. I had to perform a total life reset. This was a painful process for me. However, what was even more painful about it was acknowledging and admitting that I had been the one who caused it. Sure, I wanted to point fingers and blame everyone else. I wanted to blame my family for not raising me differently, my church for not teaching me how to be a real man, my wife for choosing to end our marriage. I wanted to blame my friends who abandoned me along the way as my life started spiraling out of control. And I wanted to blame society for failing me as a citizen and as a human and also as a man. But listen, once you choose to embrace the alpha mentality, you have to choose to let all that go and realize that even though life isn't perfect, we have ultimate power and control over how to shape our destiny while we live and walk on this earth. And this instills within us a sense of great self-responsibility and understanding that if we're going to make our lives better, we must take proactive measures to make it happen. This is a vital truth that you must accept if you truly want to become alpha and create the destiny that you desire for yourself. So that's just the very first section there. Holden, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't.
All right. Going to move on here. What is the alpha mentality is the next thing we're talking about. So this is the definition. And this is the definition I've come up with, and it's taken me a little while to come up with this. This has gone through several small evolutions over the years. I keep making it better, and this is the most likely going to be the final version, probably, because it's pretty good. Being alpha means to take action-oriented, intentional control of your life, energy, resources, and strategic trajectory, embracing radical life responsibility, shirking victim mentality, and determining to utilize your time and resources wisely to proactively create a meaningful, significant destiny and lasting legacy of greatness in the world. Now, that's kind of a big mouthful, but that is, in essence, if we're going to boil it down to one statement, that's what the alpha mentality is. And then there's a question, is the alpha mentality just for men? I actually get this question a lot. And the answer is no. A lot of people focus on the concept of the alpha male, which is fair because that's talked about more. But the truth of the matter is that you can and should embrace the alpha mentality regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. Women can be just as alpha as men. And while the masculine and feminine do bring different qualities and gifts to the paradigm, the alpha mentality remains the same. The alpha mentality also gives men and women slightly different advantages in their own ways because the paradigm is different. But advantages nonetheless. Can the alpha mentality be learned is the next thing. Absolutely. In fact, the whole purpose of this platform, my YouTube channel, podcast, blog, etc., is to help men and women understand the truths and basics of the alpha mentality so that they can deploy these truths in their own lives to experience the kind of incredible paradigm shifts that I've experienced in my own life. The truth of the matter is that you have the power to create whatever destiny you desire for yourself. I completely believe this. However, in order to make it real, it's important for you to embrace a certain set of values and principles, and the alpha mentality gives you a system of principles to embrace to create this for yourself. Now, I'm also going to say that a lot of these concepts, when we talk about the alpha mentality, aren't necessarily new concepts. This is my version of it that I kind of adopted and created for myself in my own life that really worked for me. But there are, you know, Stoic philosophy. A lot of this is rebranded Stoic philosophy, to be honest. A lot of it is, you know, there are concepts from all the major religious faiths in this. Like, people have been talking about these, what you might call in a more pure form, success principles. A lot of people have been talking about these success principles for a long time. And people have written about them, people like Napoleon Hill, you know, As Man Thinketh, which was written by, I don't even remember who wrote that book right off the top of my head. It's like very popular. Oh, James Allen, As Man Thinketh. A lot of these ancient and even not so ancient manuals for success contain very consistent success principles. And so, you know, when I talk about the alpha mentality, I'm not necessarily talking about something that's completely just brand new. These principles have been around for as long as humans have been trying to succeed. This is just my interpretation of those principles. And I also incorporate a lot of information about human hierarchies in this philosophy. And I'll explain more about that in a minute. That kind of is important to the alpha mentality. But anyway, with all that being said, Holden, what do you think? Do you have anything to add at this point?
Nothing yet.
All right. Have any questions yet? Anything?
Nothing yet.
Okay. So let's move on. So step number one was embrace the alpha mentality, right? Step number two is reject beta mentality. The beta mentality is literally the opposite of the alpha mentality. Being beta means that instead of creating your destiny intentionally, you just react to the chaos of life and the world, allowing the actions and decisions of other people and outside circumstances to decide how you're going to live and whether or not you're going to succeed. Now, a lot of people use the terms alpha and beta to mean different things. This is confusing sometimes to people. These are the terms that I chose because I talk a lot about hierarchy when I talk about the alpha mentality, which is important for striving to be the best man or woman in the room. However, the pickup community describes this differently. They talk about alphas as being like men who are successful with women, betas are men who are not successful with women. If you look into Vox Day's sociosexual hierarchy, they describe the alpha and beta completely different. Alphas are like a leadership archetype. And then betas are the lieutenants, and they're also very leadership oriented, not at all like the PUAs make them sound. So that's not even what I'm talking about. The closest thing to my definition for alpha and beta is probably the pickup artists, but it's not even exactly that. It's all about how we create our destiny and how we conceptualize the world. So if I proactively make a decision, make a plan and create my destiny, this is alpha. If I just kind of sit there and things happen to me and I react to them without ever making a plan and being proactive, that's beta. That's kind of basically that's the main difference. You can't be alpha and beta. You can't be 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Whenever you're acting beta, you're not acting alpha. Whenever you're acting alpha, you're intentionally rejecting beta mentality. We must become as adept at rejecting beta mentality as we are at embracing alpha mentality. So make the decision today to reject beta mentality in your life. And then I've got a list of values that can help you to understand how to do this. So we're going to talk about some characteristics of the alpha and the beta. First of all, let's talk about the alpha. The alpha understands that they must create their own meaning in life by choosing a purpose and committing to it. They identify the challenges or obstacles standing in their way, and they take radical self-responsibility in life to shoulder the burden of facing and defeating those obstacles. They decide to take intentional, proactive action on a daily basis. They make a plan. They execute on the plan. They analyze and adapt when they face failure. They turn failures into lessons. They continue onward to create their own destiny and legacy in life. And this stands in stark contrast to the beta mentality. And so the beta believes they're a victim in life. They give away their power because they don't want to accept full responsibility for their existence. The beta doesn't have a sense of purpose or meaning, sometimes because they believe that the universe owes them these things, which is a false sense of entitlement.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like maybe people with the beta mentality you describe may not have, like, it's all about belief, right? You have to believe that you can be an alpha and you're worthy of it. Mm-hmm. The people who don't have this mindset, AKA pretty much me, I think maybe a lot of the time has to do with they don't believe because they've never experienced anything like that in their lives. They don't even know it's in the realm of possibilities. And to ask to believe that of them is like asking like an impossible task, because it certainly feels like that way. If you're starting from the bottom, it's like you're looking at like a sheer cliff with no cracks in it. You like climb that with no tools.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So
how do you believe?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So to that, my answer would be, I think it's really important, like, when I'm talking about this stuff, I'm saying a lot of stuff, right? But
But
the truth is it doesn't start with all of that stuff. It kind of starts just with one day. One day you say, you know what, today I'm going to try to be more alpha in my life. And then when you're, you know, when that friend who's always disrespecting you, disrespects you again today, maybe you stand up for yourself and you say, hey, I don't want you to talk to me like that. You know, this is a paradigm shift, you know, or maybe like, you know, instead of looking at that project you want to complete, and like you do every day, you look at it and you just overlook it and you go play video games, smoke weed instead. It's like saying, no, today I'm going to actually work on this. I'm going to work on this project. I'm going to work on it for an hour. You know, this is very alpha. Or like, you know, every day when you walk by that, you know, attractive cashier at the store, every day you're afraid to talk to her, you know, maybe you're like, no, yeah, it would never work out for me. One day you say, you know what? I am going to try to talk to her. I'm going to walk up to her and talk to her. Or for a girl, it's like, I'm going to walk up and talk to that guy or whatever. Or it might start with when you wake up thinking, my life is pointless. My life is hopeless. I'm never going to be anything. I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything. But then one day saying, okay, you know what? Maybe those things are true, because that's how I'm living, but maybe I can change it. Maybe I'll just try something. Like maybe I'll try learning how to write code or writing blog posts, or maybe I'll make some kind of plan to make some extra money, or maybe I'll make a plan to move, you know, into my own place, or make a plan to upgrade my wardrobe or whatever it is, right? Just anything. It's just like, how would I like to better my life, but I think I'm not capable of doing it? And then it's like, well, why am I really not capable? Am I really not capable? Or is it just that I haven't put in that effort and then proven it to myself that I can do it, right? To me, I think this is how it started, was in these very small decisions. And then when I made one small decision, like for example, for me, a really big one was going to the gym. I just for years and years didn't set foot inside a gym. I could have, but I was too lazy. I was always like, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I'll do it next week. I'll start after Christmas, you know. And then a decade went by and I never went to the gym.
After Christmas. That's a hell of a cope, like a mental
it is.
Cope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so like, but then after, you know, after my marriage ended, I was like, I got to change some stuff. I have to do something different. So this was the beginning, me realizing, right, in some ways, and this sounds weird, tragedy can be an incredible catalyst for change. You might almost say, and this is a weird thing to say, you might almost say that I was very fortunate that I had such a great tragedy in my life, because had it not happened, I may never have gotten shook awake, right? And hopefully people can start making good choices without great tragedy happening to them. But so like, then I was like, no, I'm going to go to the gym. Went, got a gym membership, started going every day, then started going twice a day for a while, lost a whole bunch of weight, got in pretty good shape. And then, you know, this was my way. Every time I go to the gym, I would think, you know, I can do this. You know, before then I was kind of like, I just kind of thought, you know, I kind of hoped I could get in shape someday, but I didn't actually believe I would. And I wasn't going to put the effort into it. It's just easier to play video games and eat junk food.
Let me ask you this. Are you on like alpha autopilot at this point? Are you like, when you get into bed at the end of the day, are you like completely exhausted from giving it 110% all day?
That's a really good question. That's a super good question. I'm going to let Saad in here real quick.
All right, cool.
Hey, Saad, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Saad, this is Holden. Holden, Saad, I don't know if you guys have met.
No, we haven't.
What's up? How are you doing?
Very good, very good.
Hey, yes. How's it going? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, Saad, just to remind you, this episode is recorded, so, you know.
Yep.
Okay, good.
notified me.
What's that?
Zoom already notified me. So.
Oh, good. Okay, very good.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, me and Holden were just talking about this. He asked me, we're talking about embracing the alpha mentality here. You'll catch up pretty quick, I'm sure. But Holden, you asked me if I'm on alpha autopilot at this point. And okay, here's the answer, is it comes in phases. So I conquer one problem and that, so I have to work on it and make it a habit. And then I just move on to the next problem. So no, I'm not. I still have to work every day to develop good habits for myself. Like right now, what I'm really working on, I'm at the tail end of it now, but I really, so this is kind of a weird thing to say, but I have been really battling overcoming a scarcity mindset with my business. And the way that it would manifest itself was I'd work, grind to work on my freelance business, i.e. using a high income skill to make money. However, because I was grinding so hard at that, I wasn't investing the time I should have been investing into building assets. And it was a scarcity mentality because I was afraid that if I diverted more time to building assets, which takes longer and requires a lot of work up front with very little payoff in the front end, I was worried that I would fall behind on my bills and I wouldn't have enough money, and then hence scarcity mindset. So I had to, and then I also had to do a bunch of other things. It forced me to get more serious about my budgeting. Like you know, I realized I had to fix this problem. So that's been a problem I've been working on for like probably 3 months, 4 months now, but I'm just now getting to the point. And this is how it goes. At first I identify the problem. I make changes to try to fix it. It's difficult. It's very hard and it's very exhausting. And sometimes it's like, it like beats you up. You fail. You have to figure out why you failed, try again. And then I get to a point where if I do it enough and enough, it becomes a habit and then everything just kind of syncs up. And when I get to that point, I do go on autopilot on that habit, but then I just move on to the next thing. So there's always a thing. I haven't reached a point yet where there's not something to work on. I'm still putting out fires that have been there for a decade in my life. You know, I'm just trying to tackle them one at a time. For example, I'm not ripped yet, right? This is one of my big things. I want to be ripped, powerful, alpha mentality, successful, millionaire, leader. I'm not ripped yet. That's still something I have to work on. I'm not a millionaire yet. Still something I have to work on, you know? So building assets is a stepping stone to that. Some days I do go to bed very exhausted. But once, by the time I get to the point where it's a habit, then it's not such a big deal. And it starts to just become a normal part of my life, like brushing your teeth. You know, it doesn't really exhaust you at this point if it's a habit. The same is true for putting time. Nowadays, I wake up and I just think automatically, yeah, I'm going to work on assets for so many hours, da 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 da. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm done with that. Going to work on articles, make money, da 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 da. You know, and now I'm to that point and I'm getting ready to double down on this fitness stuff even more. Some of that is a habit, but there's some of it I still have to work on. So yeah, does that answer the question, kind of?
Yes, but as you answered it the only way you could have. It's a nebulous question. But yeah.
What do you think, Saad? You got anything to add to that?
I think we're at very different stages in our journeys. Like for you, it has like,
yeah.
you seem to be very lost in your vision. For me, it's definitely a huge struggle to, you know, like keep believing in what is it that I'm going after every day. Like partly that's like lack of trust in the process, and partly it's like whether, you know, like when I do attain the goal, whether it's gonna be worth it. So that might be very particular to me. It's yeah. So it's just like, I feel like we're at very different stages in our journeys, but other than that, what you said makes sense, man. I don't think it's ever going to be like totally smooth, but the more we like keep repeating what we're supposed to do in the face of adversity, I think like the more automatic it's going to become.
Yeah. One thing I will say is I'm really glad that I got some things taken care of. Like, for example, not understanding how to have masculine frame in my dating life used to exhaust the fuck out of me. Like that used to be so exhausting. I would get hanging out with women used to be so exhausting to me because I was aware of the masculine frame issue, but I didn't know how to live it. And I was kind of like trying to live it before it was real, real, real. And that was really exhausting. So I'm so glad that that's behind me and I don't have to worry about it. And I kind of feel the same way about this asset business, man. I'll be honest with you, money, making money. I've had a bad relationship with money. I've had a scarcity mentality my whole life with money. And it's a tough thing to tackle. It's for me, it has been a process of really having to change my mindset at a deep level, because I had some really limiting beliefs I had to overcome. So it has just been a war, man, this money thing. We're getting there, but God, I've had to work. I feel like I've had to work three times for it. I had to fix my mentality. Then I had to like make a plan. And then I had to actually enact the plan, but not only enact the plan to make the plan happen, but also to enact it in myself. Like the process of just getting myself there at the right wavelength for it, where I have an abundance and power mindset instead of fear and scarcity. I also have a lot of fear.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I'll be honest. I think I used to think dating was my biggest challenge, but I think that now that I'm working really on overcoming my scarcity mindset, I think that was harder. I think that was harder than fixing my dating life. As far as the challenges I'm knocking off, fitness has proven to be not nearly as difficult as either of those things for me. Fitness is so simple because I can control it, right? It's like, I can control my calories. I can lift weights. I can control what I do with my body. And then I see results when I do the right thing with
so
dating.
Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. With dating, you know, I have to understand a whole nother thing, which is women. And then for money, I have to understand a whole different thing, which is the marketplace. So, you know, it's like, to me, those are more complicated than fitness. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Fitness is just avoiding like fighting cravings. The way I do it is I talk to myself, like, I don't want to be offensive, but like a fat little kid, like I'm driving by an ice cream shop and I'm thinking, no, that looks good. And then like, no, that's not what a grown man, you don't get ice cream as a grown man by yourself. You know, that's what fat little kids do. And So I go home, I have like chicken, whatever, the healthy choice. And then I take it on the chin.
Yeah. Saad, your fitness game is pretty advanced, isn't it? You've been succeeding at that for a long time, haven't you?
Oh, man, at this point, it comes so easy to me because of the carnivore diet. Like, and the other thing that does is, like, you get such little craving. So, you know, like, it's, and I have been doing this for about a year now, so it's like an autopilot. So, like, it's like the least of my struggles. Like, and I do agree with you guys, like it is like amongst the three things that we're talking about, like assets or like money and dating and fitness is probably the easiest. Like you get like, it's like the output is directly proportional to the effort you put in. So if you do the right things, there's no way in hell you're not gonna see results, but the same cannot be said for the other two. Like, especially with like building assets, like if you're putting an IP out there, you don't know like when it's gonna kick off. You don't know like how the market's gonna react. Like maybe you thought like it wants something, but then it wants something else, right? Like, so it's like there's so many unknowns that are outside our control. So yeah, like for sure, man, like fitness is the like easiest.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna go back to this. We were basically, Saad, what we were talking about was the characteristics of alpha and beta mentality. We were going through the beta mentality characteristics. So the beta shrinks away from difficulties, obstacles, and challenges. The beta reacts to the chaos of life instead of making a plan and taking proactive action to execute the plan. The beta complains and blames others when they face failure. And the beta stays in their comfort zone and lives a mostly risk-averse lifestyle. So anyway, that concludes that part. Anyone want to add anything to all that?
I just want to say the beta mentality is the, I think, the natural human safe survival way.
Yes.
That could, I mean, we call it beta and we can call it whatever we want. The beta is a good word for it, but I think that's what it is. Maybe at like an evolutionary level is we're fighting our probably natural instincts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. That is the natural instinct for the vast majority of humans. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there are some people who, just because of a certain set of factors, find it more natural to embrace alpha mentality. I think for the vast majority of people, it's a big challenge and a huge paradigm shift. I really do. I think that for most people, it does not come naturally or easy. I feel like I was one of those people. I don't feel like it came naturally or easy to me. I was used to being like very risk averse. That would have been something that would have defined, those words would have defined me probably more than anything else in life.
I find that kind of hard to believe because I have only seen you on this journey. Like when you say that you used to be super risk averse, like in which areas? Like, was it dating or money?
Everywhere. Just literally paralyzed by fear. So do nothing. Like that was my MO. I wouldn't have worded it like that. Mm-hmm. I would have said something like, you just have to be careful. There's so much risk. If you know, starting a business is just too risky.
You know, that's what I say.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. So step number three in embracing the alpha mentality is strive to be the best man or woman in the room. One thing that a lot of people don't understand about the alpha mentality is that success within it is based on the human instinct to arrange ourselves into a status hierarchy. In any given social group, hierarchy, or room, humans will naturally and usually subconsciously arrange themselves according to their power and status using a very complex range of criteria. Have either of you read 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson?
I listened to the audiobook.
Yeah, he talks a lot about hierarchy in that book. I think he does a super good job of describing how it works. But anyway, so for those of you listening, if you haven't read that book and you want to know what I'm talking about here, listening or reading 12 Rules for Life will give you a pretty good idea. Jordan Peterson's pretty sharp on that stuff. Okay, in fact, the scientific definition of the word alpha is simply this: to be the highest ranking member of one's gender within their given social context or group, i.e. to be the best man or woman in the room. See, this is why I call the alpha mentality and not just the intentional mentality. Yes, we want to be intentional and proactive, but to be honest, that isn't always enough to create an amazing destiny for ourselves. We must always be seeking to pursue excellence and to achieve mastery over the things that matter to us. This means that we should always be working on ourselves to try to level up to become the very best man or woman in the room. What does this mean? It means we should strive to work harder and be more productive, pursue excellence more, achieve greater mastery over the things that matter to us, be more ripped, healthy, and fit, make more money, be better dressed, be better spoken, be more empathetic, be better leaders, be better at drawing ironclad boundaries and enforcing them with kindness and respect, etc. Now, listen, you don't have to be perfect to embrace the alpha mentality. And the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of amazing people in this world. You're not always literally going to be the best man or woman in the room, but that doesn't matter. It's not necessarily about being the best man or woman in the room. It's about putting effort every day into being the best you that you can be and always striving to be 1% better than the person you were yesterday and for aiming at the top. If you follow the simple self-improvement formula, you'll always be on an upward trajectory. And that's really what we want. That's the whole point. We don't literally need to be masters of the hierarchy to succeed, but we do need to be aiming at being masters of the hierarchy and working our way toward that at our own pace, becoming 1% better every day. All right. So that concludes step three. What do you guys think? Anything to add to that?
I agree.
This was always a tricky one for me, because, like, I grapple with balancing self-compassion with this and, you know, like, fostering, like, more of a, like, collaborative environment rather than a competitive one. Like, I do get it, like, that it's there, but... Then, I don't know, personally for me, like, if we're talking about like sexual value metrics, like, you know, like me being a brown South Asian man, like I fall short in many areas. So, and like some of them, like I'm never gonna be able to, like, those are not in my control. So, like now, if I am constantly thinking in my head that I have to climb the top of the hierarchy, like, I feel like I'm playing a loser's game. So there is that piece. And the other thing is, like, I have literally met people, like, both in, like, the physical and intellectual domains, like, people's natural capabilities vary so much. Like, for example, like there was this guy at Amazon who literally produced 5 times the output per unit of time compared to everyone else in the room. Like, there is no point in competing with that guy. Kind of like competing with Elon Musk. So, so I personally feel like if I embrace this as a guiding value, it'd do me it'd make things more challenging for me emotionally. Like it'd make me more demotivated because I wouldn't be able to do that. Now, granted, there are areas where I can compensate for it. Like, for example, one is like social skill. That is not blocked by, like, you know, like any external limitation or like that has its challenges also, like having to integrate into a new culture. But yeah. So I don't know, like, if that made sense, but that is just like my take on it.
No, 100%. In fact, Saad, you bring up a really good point, which is, okay, well, what things matter? Do I have to be the tallest in the room? Do I have to be the best graphic designer in the room all the time, right? Do I have to be the best one, the one who's best at speaking French in order to, you know, be, you know, is this what we're shooting for, being the best at everything? I kind of think that that's almost a question that you were, that your statement was encapsulated in. And I think that that's a really good question to ask, because the answer is definitely not. Like, we can't be the best at everything. That's impossible. And to try for it, not only is it not reasonable or feasible or fair, but it's also, like you said, Saad, it is actually self-destructive.
Inhuman.
Yeah. I think when I think about this, I just think we have to be the best we can be at all of the life domains that matter the most. So, for example, as a man, I want to be good with women. I want to be getting my money. And really, actually, that's what it comes down to, is that minding your business, getting your money, pursuing your purpose, leveling up mind, body, spirit. So the specifics are more related to your purpose than anything else, right? So, for example, I might say, oh, I want to be the best man in the room. And then I'm in a room full of men who are MMA fighters. And then all of them like beat me up if we got in a fight. So it's like, well, okay, I'm not the best fighter in there, obviously. But maybe fighting isn't my purpose. My purpose is to literally to create a community of alpha men and women so they can succeed at all the metrics that matter. So skills that are more important to me than MMA fighting would be like blogging and creating good content, right? So these are the things that I should be invested in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Here's another thing that I think, I have only recently started realizing this thing, and this one applies to dating. The thing is, like, if I'm striving for something, like, it's very likely that I would come off as someone who's trying too hard. Instead, if I like focus on making myself feel as good as possible internally and give that as a, like, give that energy out as a gift, like, people really pick on that. And then like on top of that, like, if you take the ideas that you basically, and then if you make all the behavioral habits, like escalating, being flirtatious, engaging, asking thoughtful questions, like, if you make that second nature, like, if you ingrain that in your personality, like, I feel like that's when, like, it just starts flowing, right? Like, I see becoming magnetic without putting in conscious effort. But there has to be there has to be a process of letting go in that, like, not striving too much for the outcome.
Right, because if you want it too bad, you come across as needy. If I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling alpha, I'm feeling depressed and victim mentality, and I'm like, no, I'm going to try to be someone else today. It fails. People can pick up on the bullshit. Like, it only works for me on those rare days if I'm actually feeling it. You know what I mean?
Women particularly are masters of this.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, like, I don't know, like, something feels a little off kind of thing.
Yeah.
So fast.
One thing that I would add to that also, I think that helps me, and I think this has made the biggest difference for me, and this is kind of where I think about it for my life, is I think to myself, you know, I'm not going to be the best at everything all the time. I'm not going to feel the best all the time. So there, I have to also be okay with not being at the top level sometimes. Like, you know, being at peace with what I'm doing and where I'm at on the journey, right? So for example, I think it's the difference between, like, For example, there's a lot of posturing on social media, people trying to pretend like they're rich and successful. And it's like, okay, well, this is fake, pretend. And it's pretty obvious. It's like, well, why are they pretending it? Well, they're probably kind of chasing fake it till you make it, you know? Whereas for me, I think this is very self-destructive. I would much rather say, you know, this is the real shit. I'm on this journey. I'm not rich and successful yet, you know, but I'm getting there. This is where I'm at. Boom. So for me, it's like, I'd have no shame in that, but I did have to work through that. Like I had to work through being at peace with myself where I'm at in the process. And then just learning to say, this is me who I am today. And I have to be at peace with myself and validate myself in that. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys.
100%, man. Like, and the thing is, you know, like when you put it out like that, like there'll be some people who'll really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like those are the kind of people you want to associate with, right? I don't know like, if this was like 50 Cent or someone, like he basically one day out of nowhere he announced that he's broke. And then like I think like he had 40 friends at that point in time. Only 6 stayed, right? So the ones that are going to appreciate that honesty and authenticity are like, they're gonna stick around, you know, like they're gonna be with you like through the thick and thin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also true, like, well, why would we lie about something, or why do we pretend or fake? Is it to please people or to make people like us more, which is just coming from a place of scarcity anyway, right? But I don't want to get too far off sod of your original point. Bringing it back to your original point, I think that that's kind of what you were saying, you know, in your own way for your own life, is when you say you want to have that good feeling in you and project that good feeling rather than trying so hard to be something else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I identify with that completely. Yeah. 100%, man. Okay. So step number 4 is follow the 18 vows. Now I've got to preface this by, and I always try to preface this by saying, these vows are my interpretation of this. I didn't really come up with all these things. You can probably find most of this stuff in Stoic philosophy, honestly. This is just my way of interpreting and learning these things. And then I put these together. And I'm just going to go ahead and read into this. In the aftermath of my failed marriage and realizing that I needed to radically transform myself, I started crafting a set of rules to help me avoid beta mentality behavior. Eventually, I fleshed out this set of rules to become what I now call the 18 vows of the Oath of Kings and Queens. These are the vows I strive to live by on a daily basis, and they've become instrumental in helping me to understand and embrace some of the core concepts of the alpha mentality that are easy to forget and overlook. Personally, I try to read these vows every day and meditate on them at least once per day. One thing that some people might notice when they read these, if you do read them or you look into them at all, is that some of them may actually offend you or cause an adverse emotional reaction within you at first. This is probably because you've been living in direct violation of that vow for so long that it's become habitual, or because you have some kind of a beta mentality belief embedded deeply within your psyche that disagrees with the vow and wants reality to be different. But here's the truth. We can't change the reality of the world. We can only change ourselves and our outlook on the world. And this perspective shift is exactly what we need in order to truly embrace alpha mentality and begin achieving success for ourselves and all of the vital life domains that matter the most. And then there's these 18 vows, which I'm gonna speed read through them real quick. And then if either of you want to comment on it, you can either stop me or you can like jump in whenever, but I'm just going to speed read through them. I'm not going to discuss them all because it's kind of a lot. Vow number 1, I vow to reclaim my power from the chaos outside of me. Number 2, I vow to love myself truly and firstly and to set others free from the requirement to do the same. Number 3, I vow to never again allow a complaint or a concession of weakness to be issued from my mouth. Number 4, I vow to always pursue wisdom in my actions and to refrain from acting rashly, that I may find balance and calculate the risks and probabilities of my endeavors with as much accuracy and forethought as possible. Number 5, I vow to never again allow fear to control my destiny. Number six, I vow to allow respect and kindness to rule my interactions with others, even if they are my enemies and even as I defeat them in battle. Number seven, I vow to take ownership over my choices, to choose my path intentionally and to accept my consequences fully. Number eight, I vow to be steadfast in my position, never wavering, never allowing or tolerating disrespect, dissent, or weaker thinking a place in my circle. Number nine, I vow to practice gratitude for every good thing I experience. Number 10, I vow to practice honesty and to recognize lies, manipulation, and avoidances for the manifestations of the weaknesses they stem from. Number 11, I vow to make myself the best man or woman I can possibly be, to continue to nourish and develop my mind, soul, and body in every possible way to the best of my ability. Number 12, I vow to strive for excellence in everything I choose to set my hands to. Number 13, I vow to practice the art of true leadership, to build for myself a circle, a family, and a tribe who loves, honors, and respects me, and who I lead, honor, nurture, and protect in return. Number 14, I vow to practice wealth building, to build for myself a treasury, a throne, a castle, a kingdom, and an empire, and to use these riches to the benefit of those who stand truly by my side. Number 15, I vow to pursue order in my life, to practice rationality and reason, and to abstain from giving control of my actions and reactions to my human emotional self, which is prone to chaos. Number 16, I vow to never relent in anything that I set my mind to, only to adapt and never to the detriment of forward progress. Number 17, I vow to adopt and follow my own true purpose, that it may act to shield me from the chaos around me and give me the strength and direction to live out my days, pursuing something meaningful and to leave a lasting legacy for those who follow me. And then number 18, I understand that every day is a battle and that there's no guarantee of victory tomorrow. So I vow to live gloriously and wisely on this day of days, setting my sights on the battle before me without losing sleep or hope to the unknown horizon. So those are the 18 vows.
That's you guys, a man on a mission right there. Goddamn, good job.
Heck yeah, man. Do either of you have anything to say about that?
You don't strike me as a weed smoker.
I used to smoke a lot of weed. Not anymore. I did. I used to wake up every morning. And this, when my anxiety and depression was at its peak in my beta mentality days, I used to wake up, take a shot of vodka and smoke weed before I did anything else. I needed it to function. Mm. It was not a good time.
How long did that period last for you?
That lasted about 6 months, that period of time. Mm. That was right before everything fell apart. I was just like, I was like an emotional scarecrow is how I would describe it. It was not a good, it was all coping. My whole life was a cope. Mm-hmm. At that point, it was. Yeah. But, you know, not that I don't, you know, occasionally still drink nowadays, but it's a lot different. Having a drink nowadays isn't because I can't cope with my feelings while I'm sober, right? That's the big difference. It's you know, it's
a fun thing.
Yeah,
I have to do this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's also really inefficient. I don't, drinking is actually super bad for you, and I don't even like, I don't even really, it just makes me lazy and I don't get as much work done. But anyway, but the point being is, yeah, that was a cope back then. Anyway, so yeah, that's the 18 vows. And you know, I think that these vows are good to start with. I kind of think that, you know, I kind of believe that as people progress on the alpha journey, they should come up with their own rules for themselves, like their own vows to themselves that are reflective of their specific context and the challenges they face. Because these 18 vows, like the stuff that they cover was all stuff that I was really dealing with. And I made them for myself to keep me from further destroying my life, basically. And, so that's why I made them, and they are kind of, they're pretty universal, but I always feel like people can probably build upon that with their own rules for their own life. You know, I kind of believe that's the case. We should have our own code. I think that's my code, you know, my alpha code. Yeah. Anyway, anyone want to say anything about that before we move on to the final step?
I had something, but I forgot. I'll think of it and write it down.
All right. Step number five, shirk the victim mentality. As beta humans who live at or near the bottom of the hierarchy, one of our primary defense mechanisms in life is to try to appear as a victim so that we can enjoy the benefits of getting other people's pity. See, when you're weak and living in beta mentality, getting pity from other people feels good. It's truly a defense mechanism, both physically and for your feelings. When we act pathetic, complain about the world, complain about how things aren't fair, and try to make our problems seem like they're not actually our fault, but that they're instead the fault of the government or our ex or people who've wronged us or negative life circumstances, etc., what we actually do is give away all of our power and try to present ourselves as helpless, hopeless, trembling little creatures skulking in the corner. But this is not the alpha way. I want to.
Sir.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
No, I said, no, sir. It's not the alpha way.
Yeah. I kind of want to, I didn't write this in the blog, but I want to tell the story. I one time went to a business networking meeting and there's this guy there, very well-dressed guy, very professional guy. He was very peppy, upbeat, you know, very sociable. And I was like, you know, he's a good guy. Seems like a cool guy, very successful. And we were talking and I don't even know how it came up. Somebody else asked him a question or something. And he happened to be, even though we were at a bar, he was drinking coffee. And someone kind of poked a little fun at him, was like, "What, you're drinking coffee at the bar?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "You know, this morning is one of the mornings I do chemo, so I need an extra cup of coffee in the afternoon to get me over that little hump in the day." And I'm just like, my God, this guy went to chemo this morning. He's, you know, treating cancer. And he's here at business networking, being more lively than most of the other people here. And he's like, the way he talks about it, he's not like feeling sorry for himself, blah, blah. He's like, "Oh yeah, drinking an extra coffee to help me get past the chemo." I'm like, oh my God. Like, I feel like I learned a big lesson about being tough that day. I was like, Jesus, there is nothing that tough going on in my life. Not by a long shot, right? That is rough, man.
A lot of fire under your ass real quick.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. I made me feel like a real bitch real quick. Right. And so it's like, yeah, that story just stands out to me. I always think about that. I always think, my God, like, life can get tough, but man, the winners, the people who win, they don't seek out that victim mentality. They overcome. So I'm going to continue reading this. If you truly wish to be alpha, you must cast aside your victim mindset and stand up in your own true power. In other words, you have to shirk the need for other people's pity. Personally, for me, I got to the point where people taking pity on me literally made me sick. I was so tired of being a weak victim that I started telling people, "No, I don't want your pity," because this did happen. Because I was a huge victim, like before in my life. And then sometimes people would kind of try to give me pity, but I was changing my mindset and I would say like, no, I don't want pity. Don't feel sorry for me, please. Like, I started telling people that, but it was more for me than for them because
sorry to interrupt, but before you started noticing these patterns, would you say that you kind of welcomed that pitying? Like, what was that never a thing for you?
No, it was because I wanted pity because it felt like I was getting all of the love and validation that I didn't create for myself, basically, to put it in a nutshell.
Right.
Yeah. So no, I did. And I tried to seek it out too. I'd try to get people to feel bad for me for years and years. That was my MO. I acted like that. I'm not proud to say that, but that's what I did.
In your defense, It was a beta move, but in your defense, I believe it probably came from a place of like hurt and not of like toxic. Because, how do I put this? It came from a place of deep hurt. And
well, that's probably true. I think that's probably true for most.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. It's not an excuse, but it's maybe you had to live that and go through that.
I think that helped me to learn that getting pity from people will never fill your emptiness inside. Yeah. Like, you have to fill it yourself.
For sure.
With your own power. And so, and then there's just no comparison. Anyway, so this is the kind of attitude. I put a quote here in the blog post, like, this is the kind of mentality we want. We want to say, please stop feeling sorry for me. I don't want your pity. I can overcome these challenges myself. I have the power to create the life I want. And even though I'm facing challenges and setbacks right now, I will overcome them. This is the kind of attitude we want to embrace if we truly wish to become alpha. So today, make the decision to shirk and cast aside your victim mentality, to stand up under your own power, determine to start taking responsibility for your own life, create your own victory. Stop looking for pity from other people. Instead, start being the strong one. And this is a big, this is a big mental thing too. Start being the one who's strong enough that you encourage others and you lift them up. Being the strongest one in the room all the time. Be intentional about that. I remember for me, that was a big mindset shift. I was like, you know what? And I just, it dawned on me. I was in the Walmart parking lot. I just remember it dawned on me. I was like, you know, I need to start being the strong one. I have to stop looking around, hoping there's a strong person for me to lean on. I have to start being that person. And that was a huge like transformation moment for me personally in my journey. You must also commit to stop complaining in life. Instead, always look at life from an optimistic standpoint. And then when bad things happen, say this to yourself, something like this. That definitely wasn't what I was hoping for. However, I'm powerful enough to rise above it, to learn from it, and to overcome it. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't need anyone else's pity to accomplish that. I can do it under my own power with my own strength. I'll overcome these challenges and I'll prove to myself and to the world that I am truly the master of my own destiny. This is exactly the mindset we need to have if we truly wish to embrace the alpha mentality in life. And that's it. Those are the five steps for embracing the alpha mentality. Mm. All right. Anyone have anything to add to that?
Oh, man. Like the self-talk that goes on when things don't go our way, like that's so big. Like it's so big. Like
moment of truth.
Yeah, yeah. Like what narrative are we running through our minds? Because that literally shapes like whether we are going to stay in the game or we're going to drop out. Like, and it's like, and, you know, like there's this, like, I lately have been looking a lot into law of attraction and like visualization and that kind of stuff. So like, there's this one guy who was saying, like, if you knew, like, how we'll get from point A to point B, and you were just, like, make it from point A to point B, like, you don't need faith, you don't need character to do that. Like, if the territory is uncharted, and you're constantly hitting roadblocks, and you persevere against that, that is what, you know, like, that is what makes the journey worth it. And then, and that requires faith and courage and all that, you know, like alpha mentality stuff that we're striving to ingrain in ourselves, right? Like, so it's like, it's, and like, Josh, like, I can totally relate to like this, like, you know, like seeking pity from other people. Like, I used to do that like all the time, you know, like every time I'll like start talking to a new person, I'd be like, hey, like, this is what happened in my childhood. Like, this is how I'm fucked up and all of that, you know, like, and then like when they quote unquote, like would get like irritated by it or wouldn't provide the empathy to me, I'd get so upset. Like the world doesn't understand. Like, and after joining this tribe and working with you is when I started realizing that this is what I have been doing and it needs to stop, because it keeps us trapped. Like it just like gives us an excuse to not to take responsibility. So yeah, man, like this is like solid stuff. Like it's like, yeah, I'm very fortunate to have encountered this tribe and the content, you know?
I have to jump in real quick. I have to go, but thank you. Thank you all. Nice to meet you. And yeah, to anyone watching this on YouTube,
sorry, Holden, you were talking.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm just saying, to anyone watching this on YouTube, you should join. Like, we need more minds in here, more people to bounce it off of. It's been wonderful having another person in here, but I got to go. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all. Have a good night.
Hey, thanks, Holden. Nice to talk to you. Talk to you soon, man.
See ya.
All right. But yeah, no, Holden's right. If you're watching this, feel free to join the tribe. Links in the description. Come bounce the stuff around with us. Be another great mind. We are few right now, but we're mighty, aren't we, Saad?
We sure are.
Heck yeah. But that's all right. We're on the journey. Anyway, so yeah, no, Saad, I totally understand that. And like I say, it pains me to admit that I used to look for pity, but it is what it is, you know? And if we never realize these things, we'll never overcome them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been the same, so.
Yeah, yeah. All right, very good. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Let's see. Saad, any last words before we sign off the podcast?
No, just you know, like, we got to keep practicing these vows and these ideas to make them more automatic. And have faith that something great will come out of it. And it will. It will.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Saad, I really appreciate you being here and bouncing this around. I love getting more minds in these discussions and masterminds. It's much better. I learn. I think everyone else learns a lot more. It's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, go with grace. Never give up your power. This is Josh Segafis signing off.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit www.joshuasegafis.com. Catch you on the flip side.